The order of my steps is inspired by one of our members had jury duty this week, and in it came up a lot of questions, good questions in it. There was a time, I think, where you could actually use your faith as a reason not to be in the jury. They kind of got pulled away from that for the most part. So Christians ask, what do we do exactly when it comes to being part of jury duty? But not just that. This topic should cover so much more in a Christian's life, because it deals with this term called judging. And judging, believe it or not, is very necessary in our lives, but we have to do it correctly. First of all, understand the Greek word for judge is krino, okay? And you see different versions of it as judging, judges, and so on and so forth. And krino means to distinguish, or you could say assess, to decide, mentally or judicially, but by implication, to try, condemn, or punish. Now, if you look at that, there's actually two definitions in there. One we're supposed to do, the other one we are not. The one we're supposed to do is to distinguish or to assess, to decide. What we're not supposed to, and that's usually where the Bible pushes the past judgment. When it says past judgment, that's when a person condemns or punishes. I can't make a verdict necessarily on a person, say what their outcome and what they are, period. What I am supposed to do is where they're headed, what they're doing, and what I need to do to help them. Does everybody understand that? Okay? So usually you'll see the same word, but one is passing judgment, where I'm already saying they're long gone, they're horrible, they're crazy, so on and so forth, so I can't do anything. And the other one is, man, I'm concerned, they're going in this wrong way, I see them doing this, that's what we're supposed to do. So let's get an understanding, because Christians are responsible for judging, believe it or not. It says Christians should judge because Christians will judge the world. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 1-4, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before, watch this, the ungodly. Pay close attention to that. And it says for judgment instead of before the saints. Now this verse is putting more emphasis and understanding on anything we have against other Christians should be taken to the church. Now, I understand even in today's world, the reason why we don't do that is because the church started judging ungodly. He's showing you there is a difference. There is definitely a difference between the two. Excuse me, I'm going to get the other mic because this one's driving me crazy. So, sound like R2-D2 up here. For those of you, R2-D2 was a guy in Star... Okay, never mind. Y'all didn't recognize who that was. All right. So it's showing us that there is an ungodly way, and then there is a saint or representing God way. Unfortunately, today, Christians are doing it the ungodly way with God as our excuse. We're going to talk about that. But it shows us that there has to be a difference, and the church should be able to do it much better. Because he says in verse 2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? He even goes on and says, and if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in church. He's basically saying, we in the church, based on what judging is supposed to be, should be able to judge any case and do it righteously. That's how it should work. But that's the case. We have to make sure we're doing it righteously. We are commanded to judge those in the body, believe it or not. Because one verse that we're going to see a little later we like to use is the Bible says, do not judge. People say that, right? Bible tells me not to judge. But in reality, this is something I'm supposed to do every day based on God. I'm going to always use that based on God because you got to make sure you're using the right terms. 1 Corinthians 5. 12 through 13 says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Now, what he's showing you here is those outside the church are all sinners. Our only goal for them is to minister to them. Do you understand that? I'll watch Christians sometimes rebuke a non-Christian, which makes no sense because they're a non-Christian. That shows when we're being ignorant. You know, you shouldn't be living together. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. And they shouldn't be, but they shouldn't be a non-Christian. And they won't know it. And they can't know it until they become Christian. My goal is to minister or plant my seed or water wherever it may be in order that they may become Christians so then they can understand, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. That's why he says, what business is of mine? That's not my job. He goes on to say, are you not to judge those inside? Now, this is something that's not happening. There's junk going on in the church. And not just FSG, I'm talking about the entire church body that we watch and we allow. Say nothing, do nothing. We give excuses and we just let it pass. And he's saying, no, that's what we're supposed to do. And once again, based on God. And I'll show you why I keep saying that. He says in verse 13, God will judge those outside. So as long as those people are not Christians, they're headed to hell, is his answer. I don't care how good you change their life. And this is why it's so important, because if I went and I told a non-Christian the bad that he's doing, for him to fix the bad that he's doing, he may start feeling justified in himself. Did you catch that? Good example. There was a couple living together. None of them were Christian. Somebody who's Christian went and told them, you shouldn't be doing this. They were like, oh, so they split up from doing it. Still not Christian. And they went that way. And then they end up getting married. Have nothing to do with Christianity. Was it a great thing? No, it wasn't. They didn't become Christian. Do you understand that? Okay. So the pattern is they're still headed to hell. You just gave them self-righteousness. Does that make sense? Okay, ministering to them would allow them to make that decision under God for the purpose of God. And this is where we mess up, because we think we are trying to do it on our own based on us instead of based on him. He says, expel the wicked man from among you. The church has allowed many bad people to exist while being bad in the church and have done absolutely nothing. And the church is wrong. You get that? That's the judgment we're supposed to make. It says, when we are spiritual, we can judge without being judged. So now that's the big part. Not based on me. It can't come up here and say, well, I feel this person should go because they make me mad and I don't like what they're doing and so on and so forth. That's me doing it. When we can give, well, the Bible is saying this and they're not doing this. And if they don't do this, they can't be amongst us. Now I'm letting the Bible rule. And that's how it's supposed to be. It says, when we are spiritual, it shows us in 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. The spiritual man makes judgment about what? All things. Keep that in mind. He says, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. What that means is, and you're going to see Jesus make the same thing, any judgment he makes, he can fully back it up by the Bible. Not partially. Some of us have a scripture that may help my case, but do you have the complete Bible to support what you're doing? That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm just giving you what the word says. So you can judge me all you want and call me this and look at you and all this. Yeah, I'm not saying, because it's not for me. I'm just doing what the Bible says is what it's showing us. I'm showing you based on the spirit, not based on me, is what he's implying. He's like, the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, if you're spiritual. Now, there's a danger if I judge wrong, and this is a God promise danger that you better be aware of in judging, because it's not one of those cases that, well, then I'm just not going to, because then we just saw we're supposed to judge. So that means we're sinning because we're ignoring God. However, when I do judge, if I do it wrong, look what he says here. It shows that how you judge will dictate how you are judged. Everybody say will. Didn't say may. All right. Didn't say could. It's saying this is a definite. He shows us in Matthew 7, 1 to 2, do not judge or you too will be judged. That's the first thing he's saying. Now everybody use that. So then I'm not judging. No, you got to keep reading on what he says. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. Did y'all catch that? And watch this. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Two things he's talking about. How I do it and what is it based on. How I do it, and what is it based on? So if I do it without compassion, without looking at everything, with my own mindsets, with all the measurements that are not based on God, guess what I'm going to get? Because they're all false. The only true measurement is Christ. If I use anything else other than Christ, Christ is saying that we're going to use something else other than righteousness for you to be judged. Very painful. Do you understand that? And he's saying, the way I do it, you didn't show love, love's not going to be shown for you. You didn't show mercy, mercy's not going to be shown for you. Can I go on down the list? Do y'all get this? In other words, this is why self-righteousness is so dangerous, because self-righteousness is based on self. And God's like, wait, you're using you? All right, I'm going to judge you based on you. Since you're using you and you're limited resources, guess what we're judging you by? You. And you don't want to be judged by you. Okay, and I'm going to show you why a little later. But that's the big part of it. He was like, and with the measure and with the ways, these things, if we use them and they're not fully God, that's how I'm going to. So what this is also saying to me is, if I use God in the way I do it, and I use God in the measure I use, I'm safe. Because then I'm in his grace and I'm in his mercy. I use anything else. And believe me, when you do it, I think most of us feel justified. Because the way we see it, it seems right. Right? This has to be right. It seems like the way it's supposed to be. Hypocritical judging could place us in the path of God's judgment. He shows us this here. Romans 2, 1 to 3 says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment. Remember I told you I use the same word? So the same word used, but now this is the passing judgment. When I am saying somebody is, when I call somebody something or someone else, it says when you pass judgment on someone else, it says at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. He explains why. Because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Might not be in the same form, but you're just as guilty. So if I'm beating you up, holding a grudge, doing whatever against you based on what you're not doing, I better be perfect. And since I already know I'm not, I'm in trouble. Look what he says. It goes on to show us, now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. There's that based on. Okay? So when God punishes us, when the Bible tells me something's wrong, it's based on him who is truth. But watch this. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? What he's saying is, if I am beating you up for something you're doing, but I'm doing the same thing in another form, guess what I'm going to get? Beat up. God ain't going to go, man, it was good you were hard on him. He may go, oh, it's good you were hard on him. Guess what's going to happen to you? Right? Compassionately, humbly, we should approach people with the understanding, I am no better than them. But usually we have self-judgment where we take certain things and we put them in this row, and this stuff is the top stuff. This stuff, you know, we'll ignore. This stuff is not as meaningful. Do you understand? We're doing that as Christians today in our judgment. And God is saying, okay, this unbalance, and we'll talk about that. Okay? So knowing this warning, we need to know then, how do we as Christians judge? So this is how it does. First of all, Jesus only presented what God gives, and so should we. Okay? So what he says, and he made this very clear, and you always got to look close at what he's saying here in Matthew 7. 1 to 2, I'm sorry, in John 5, verse 30 says, I judge only as I hear. Think about what he's saying here, okay? He's saying, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Why is that so important? He's only giving you what God says, period. Now, why do I add the period? Because a lot of us, sometimes we'll be in agreement with God, but we don't give it just as God. We love it when God says something that we agree with, then we all force what the Bible says, and you do this, and blah, blah, blah. But we don't give it as us giving it from God. We give as it me and God, or God's in agreement with me. And then we add to it, and then we go after the person like they're the worst thing, and we are the judge-er, and we miss it. We totally miss it. No, I'm just supposed to give you what God is saying. Okay? Continue. It says, the standard we must judge by is righteousness only, never appearance. Appearance may be in there, but it can never be the answer. It shows us in John 7, 24, do not judge according to appearance. Can't make it any clearer than that. So I can't look at it and go, no, the way it looks to me, the way it seems, that cannot be my final judgment. Cannot be. And this is what makes it hard for us in court cases, because it's basically saying to a Christian, if all I get is appearance and I don't have anything else, I have to go, I can't judge. I'm sorry. I can't call them guilty. I can't do nothing. Now, everybody else is going, from what I got, I feel, what I think, our job is to go, I didn't get enough. I am sorry. In the Lord, I got to make sure I'm doing it fully based on what he says, not on according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. What does that mean? Judge with righteous judgment. Well, he shows us that righteous judgment means it's based on God. Okay? And we see that in John 8, 15 through 16. He says, you judge with human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Now, those two things are significant. First of all, he's saying you judge based on what most humans would judge with. Now, this is why our court system is so screwed up. Okay? It's messed up because we allowed humans to come in and say, well, this is wrong, but this is right, and this is right, and this is wrong. That's why people can do same crimes and get two different times. God's not going to, now, it's happening, and God's allowing it to happen now. Oh, but he's basically saying he's going to take care of that. You're going to see that a little later. It should not be acceptable at all. Now, humanly, we can reason why it's done. Humanly, we can reason why it's done. Spiritually, nowhere in the Bible will you find that. I remember years ago, and it still might be in the thing, you sold a drug in one form, you got 10 to 15 years. You sold that drug in another form, you got 25 to life. Same drug. Y'all get this? Now, humanly, we probably could justify. Well, the reason why they did this, and every time I've heard the argument on it, has never been spiritual. Well, the Bible says, never. But this went on for years. And I think in our minds, well, they're criminals, so it doesn't matter. Not realizing God is looking at this and saying, seriously? Do y'all get this? And unfortunately, we do the same thing. Maybe not to that extent, but we allow certain groups or people in our lives based off of us judging based on us, human standards, and not on God. Did y'all catch this? Okay? He says, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. I want you to show, I want everybody to see that. Jesus says, I'm passing no judgment. Did y'all see that? Jesus Christ said, I'm not passing judgment. He makes it clear what he does. He said, I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, and he's not saying he judged. Look what he's saying. He's saying, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. He was like, the only thing you'll hear from me is what the Father says. Do y'all get that? In other words, Jesus would have gone, this crime did this. This is what you get based on God. Not, well, the way I see it, and I see all this other stuff happening, and it's affecting these people, and it's all that sounds great. But did God say that? But when did I become the level maker? When did I become the change maker? Do you understand that? He's saying, I'm only giving you what God says. Believe me, I get it. In certain cases where I've seen people make judgments and they were unbalanced, I understood as a human what they said. Spiritually, where did they have the right to say that? These are people's lives you're dealing with. Does everybody understand that? Okay? He says, I stand with the Father. In other words, you'll never hear my point of view. I'm only giving God. That is our responsibility, to only give God. Favoritism can't exist in judgment. Never, ever. Okay? James 2, 8 to 9 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. The term prejudice comes from the Greek word, which breaks it up, where it says pre, which means before, and judicium, which means judgment. I'm judging before I judge. In other words, I'm already making an assumption. I already said how bad this person is going to be even before I met them. We've allowed our society, our families, our culture, our things to place people in certain groups. And this is when we either give people praise or we give people badness. Each case is coming from a prejudgment or favoritism. God, we read the verse where we talked about God is against. We did a whole order of my steps on God is fully against favoritism. And here's the problem. All of us have it. If you're put in the right setting, in a court setting, and I went by me and you went by you, there's some things that you were affected. And it doesn't even just affect things like gender and race and location. It may also affect, now watch this. Have you ever gone through a traumatic situation? And because that situation affected you, you're judged differently now if you see somebody else who went through it. You know what I mean? If somebody was bit by dogs two or three times in their life, they'll think all dogs are crazy. Stay away from them. They're vicious. They're horrible. You'll get a dog lover that'll be like, no. All dogs are lovable. They're great. You must have done something. So, and we can have the argument back and forth because our judgments are based on our experiences with them and not God. Amen? Okay? And the problem with that is we'll allow that to make us make a decision. God's decision. Would just be, you got to be cautious with everything down here. You better be careful. This is all based on God. I don't care how you feel about the dog. I don't care what the dog done to you. Just understand, do it based on him. Favoritism is very dangerous, but I'm sorry, it's throughout all of us. And that's why if the church did it today, we take sides. I still watch the church take sides. There should only be one side, and that's the side of Christ. Doesn't exist. Unfortunately, what I've seen so far, you see people still taking the sides of each other. When he says be of the same mind, what we did is we went out and found people to have our same mind, not us going out to find the same mind as Christ. That's where we blew it. Right? If you're very honest, you go find people that agree with you instead of, hey, how come we are not all agreeing with Christ? And that's a major problem. Favoritism is dangerous. Means I must be fair in my judgment. Look what God is inspired to say or pushed to say in Proverbs 20, verse 23. He says, the Lord detests differing weights, detests them, and dishonest scales do not please him. Now, you have to know how to define that also, because you have somebody that go, that means that everybody should get the same thing, right? Well, no, because the Bible talks about poor all the time. If you notice that, he doesn't talk about rich the same way he talks about poor. Is he being dishonest? No. God's like, I have to make it clear to these people because they will mess up everything. In the sense of, let me give you an understanding. People who have less, you have to understand they may need more. In fact, he even does it on our grace giving. He doesn't say, he's not going to come to the person who put $10,000 into a church or into helping other people. He's going to go to the person into the percentage. Remember he said that one woman who just gave 2 pennies, and they were less than a penny, gave more than all those other people. She became more blessed, while the rest of us will put those people who gave 10,000, whatever, on a board as these are great people, aren't they? Because we're looking at just the one line and missing the whole entire picture. This is why we have to go with God, because you never know the entire picture. You never know the entire picture. There was a case I seen one time on television where they had the person come on, and he was two people committed a murder. Let's put it this way. And they wanted to give them both same time. So then what the person was supposed to do was tell both of their stories. After you heard both their stories, the one who committed the murder, you want to let them go. The other person, not only do you want to put them in jail, you want to put them under the jail, you want to give them the death penalty or whatever. But not going over what's right and what's wrong on that, I want to show you how, once you know more, how it readjusted what you saw. A lot of times we just hear the final result. They did this. Can you explain more? They should be punished. We as humans are limited. That's why we need the eternal. This is why he says, vengeance is mine. You don't know the whole picture. Vengeance is mine, because if you make me do something here, I got to do the same thing to you. Do y'all get this? Okay? Do you understand how judgment has to be based through God in everything that we do? We need to judge righteously, engulfed in mercy. James 2, 12 through 13 says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged. Now, stop for a minute. That means if I'm in jury duty or if I'm dealing with you, I have to realize what I'm getting ready to say to this person. I have to realize he better come to me and say, Keith, you're totally clean on this. And since I know I can't say that, then man, I better have as much mercy that I want God to have on me, is what he's saying. Did y'all catch that? So if I know somebody in the church is doing something, and I go, what is the matter with you, you horrible whatever person? Get out of my face. You know what I mean? That's crazy, because that's me talking out of my anger based on me. I am so wrong. Because now he's going to go, but Keith, you were doing this, this, and this. Get out of my face. No, God, you don't understand. I was going through this, and now I want compassion. Now I want mercy. Right? That's why we have no right to snap out on anybody. This is why we have no right to cut people off. We have no right to be angry with anybody, because of mercy. Does that make sense? Unless you're perfect. And we already know the answer to that. Never have a right to get angry and snap out and go off on anybody. Because I have to speak and act as somebody that's going to be judged, he said. He says, by law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be, should have put that in bold, will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God is less on the punishment and more on the help. Did y'all catch that? Less on the punishment, more on the help. What can I do to help you in this thing that you're doing that is wrong? And it is wrong what you're doing. But what can we do? Man, if you need to call me, let's work on it. Not, nope, let's go punish him. Some of us are quick to just punish and not help. Does that make sense? Okay. In no way am I talking about enabling. Enabling would be allowing them in their sin and just say everybody makes mistakes. The allowing them in their sins, unacceptable. The Bible shows that, nope, you cannot do that. Don't understand. However, when I go straight for the punish, they did this, they deserve this, I'm wrong also. Do y'all get this? And then I got to do it God's way. How I have to do it has to be in a way that shows mercy. What can we do to help? Man, you're doing this thing. Not who does that. It's how can we help? Amen? So we're going for mercy, not judgment. But if I go for judgment, I'm going to judge. I'm going to be judged myself. We are to give as we have received from God. Luke 6, 36 to 37 says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So he even gave us the level of mercy. So I got to understand God's mercy in order for me to be merciful. If what that means is all of us should be dead by now and in hell, all of us. And he gives us chance after chance, not in our sin, but helping us with our sin. And he does it his way, which is the right way. So if part of it means to disassociate in order to help, I disassociate in order to help. I don't do it my way. I do it his way. So it says I can be merciful as him. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Okay. So it's showing, just like we read earlier, don't go off in my own way of passing judgment, and passing judgment won't happen to me. Do y'all see this? Okay. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. I never can say, how many times have you went to help somebody, didn't work, and you go, well, they're stupid, they're crazy, they're foolish, they're just going to hell. Do you realize you condemn them? You gave an excuse of why you're no longer helping them. I'm no longer going to help them because they're this. I think, and you may even get tons of people to agree with you. Yep, they're crazy, they're horrible, they're foolish. They're sinners. They'll never change. That's condemning. Y'all do know that, right? When I go, I struggle because it seems like nothing's working. I'm going to keep on until God tells me to stop, is what we should be saying. That's why a Christian has no right to go, oh, I'm done. Do y'all get this? No right to do that. Okay? Because in our judgment, we represent God. Because the minute I do that, God's going, but you're crazy. You're foolish. You're dumb. You were condemned. Do you understand this? I have no right to condemn anybody because I'm just as bad. Just might not be doing what they're doing, but I'm a sinner who needs Christ. Do y'all get this? It says, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. There is a requirement to me being forgiven, which churches have gotten rid of. They're like, oh, no, anybody except Christ, you're forgiven. There is a process to this. And the Bible says it over and over again. He's basically saying, you don't forgive, guess what will happen? Read Matthew 6. You will not be forgiven. Y'all get this? There is a process that must exist in this. We must check us before we check others. This is a huge one here, okay? It shows us in Matthew 7:3-5. Matthew 7:3-5 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Now, what he's talking about here is seeing, how you see things, okay? Now, what we want to do is for Christians to get to a point to where you react based on seeing things clearly. Now, if we're walking by faith, we see things clearly, okay? So have you ever done something for somebody or you went and told somebody and in your mind it was as clear as it could be and they didn't get it? It's not that, once again, they're crazy or they're stupid or all this other stuff. It's mean they're not seeing clearly. That's it. There is something blocking how they're seeing. Here's the surprise. All of us have that in certain parts of our lives. Certain things you just won't get. Somebody will come to you and go, clearly. I told you when we did Danger of Desires and I preached, and it was one of those that was so clear to me at that time. And when I was done, I thought everybody was going to get up and go, hallelujah. Man, this is clear. And I just kind of got, oh, okay. It's like, now I hear how it affects people as time goes on, but it opened up my eyes to the fact of, nah, I just don't always see it. Because even though I was excited about that, there's many things my wife told me, and it may take months later. I'm like, oh, that's what you meant when you said. And she would go, but that's what I was telling you. And I'm like, I know, but I didn't get it. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? He's saying the way we see is not always as easy and cut and dry for me going down there and just telling them. Just go tell them. If you're people, just go tell them. Yeah, yeah, that works all the time. Why doesn't it work? Because we don't always clearly see. So he says, and he's making clear to us, that why are you looking at the problems they have and seeing when you have the same problems? Amen? I have people that get mad. I know we all are guilty of this. So everybody, I can't say it's talking about one person, in which we'll get mad when somebody doesn't understand what we're saying, but then we also get mad when we don't understand what they're telling us. Am I right? In other words, it's always their fault. You ever catch that? When they don't understand, you're like, don't you hear what I'm saying? And we're getting mad at them. We're angry at them. But we don't understand them. What are you talking about? All of us are guilty of that. Why? Because how we see. How are you getting mad at them when the same thing is happening with you? Look what he says. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And he goes to extreme with us. He says, you can't see more, and you can't even see that you can't see. He says, you hypocrite. First, what's the first thing I must do? Take the plank out of your own eye. What that doesn't mean is solve your problems. It means understand you can't see. Does that make sense? So that means I'm coming to you with an understanding of I'm still limited in what I see. Do y'all get this? That's why he says, when I remove the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do you see that? The see clearly? See, usually when I first go, you know what? They're not seeing this, but I know there's something I may be missing. Then you'll gently approach it. Not with a, you should be, and why aren't you? Once again, self-righteousness comes off of, I see everything clearly. Right? And it doesn't work that way. I counsel people, which I'm seeing both sides. Both sides are correct, but they're not seeing each other's side. And we get absolutely nowhere. And I'm trying to tell them, no, it's not that one is right. It's you're not seeing these both play a part. Let's get on both parts. And nope, they're mad because the other one doesn't see them. The other one's mad because the other one doesn't see them. And we don't see. And we're mad. Instead of removing the plank, wait, there might be something I'm not seeing. Amen? Judgment must recognize we are the flaw. We are the problem. That's why I need mercy. You know how many times I get mad at something. I my granddaughter at times can tell fibs, and she has her moments. And one time she came in and she told this story, and it sounded, she said, I'm not even going to the story, but it was something about she seen something outside and how it happened with my daughter and with my brother-in-law and how things were going. And I'm sitting there listening to the story, and I'm like, I said, stop. What did I tell you about lying? And they went, no, I'm not lying. And they went to the story again. I said, no. You're going to get punished. You know better than that. And she went, I'm sorry. I said, all right, I don't want to catch you doing that again. Walked away. My daughter came in, started telling me the same story. And I'm sitting there, and I had to pull her back in, and she's looking at me like, I told you. You understand that? The problem was, I couldn't see it. Why? There was some other lying and stuff that was put in there. You understand? And she had this stuff, and I was judging based off of that, and it sounded a little too fantastical to me. And it was like, okay, right? But it was something that I had to really go, wow. So now I'm very careful. I got to hear the whole thing. I got to gather as much information. And even then, I'm sitting there going, did I get everything I'm supposed to know? Do y'all get this? I got to make sure I see. So understand, overall, the main tool for our judgment must be God's word. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 says, for the word of God is living and active. That's first of all. It's not some old book that was written. It's outdated. He's still living. It's as sharper than any double-edged sword. Double-edged means it cuts one way to heal and it cuts the other way to punish. So the Bible tells me how to do both in the right way. I use just the Bible for this. And it judges. Watch what it does. He first talks about it penetrates even dividing soul. So it takes care of the who I am. The Bible knows who I am. Even though each of us are different souls, the Bible knows exactly who I am. So the Bible will do that. And spirit. It deals with our spirit in the way. We all have a human spirit given to us by God. So it knows how to deal with us spiritually, joints and marrow. That means our flesh. It knows how to deal with our flesh. And that also includes judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So only the Bible covers all of it. Only the Bible covers all of it. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eye of him. To him we must give an account. In other words, I can judge you, make everything turn out right, and it looks good, and if it doesn't fall in line with God, you're still in trouble. And I see people doing that. I've heard Christians tell other Christians, don't worry about that. You won't have to worry about that. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, but that's not what it says in the Bible. So what are they going to tell God? Are they going to say, well, God, I listened to him, not you. Right? How many times have you heard a Christian tell you, oh, don't worry about that, but it's clearly in the Bible. Why then are you not worrying about that? Why is it okay because so and such? If I get up here and I tell you something and you don't see it in the Bible, you better not follow me. Y'all get this? I am not, God's not going to go, oh, he said it. No, I have the most respect for Keith. He'll be like, oh, wait a minute. Do y'all understand this? We have to make sure that we're following him and him only. So look at this. To break it down, remember the only judgment that should concern us is God's. Now that should mold every ounce of our judgment. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5 says, I care very little that I am judged by you or by any human court. So Paul is saying, you know what? You'll make judgments, and I'm listening to you, and if I don't hear it come from the Bible, meaningless. I'll take it with a grain of salt, meaningless. And if a human court, that means the way the world has structured and said what humans have to be, the world told us what a good person is. The world told us what a smart person is. The world told us what an evil person is. The world told us what a beautiful person. Go right down here. Paul's saying meaningless. That's how we all should be. No, we ascribe to it because then we try to do our hair. We try to act like we try to do what the world tells us is. He's saying it's meaningless. All that's meaningless. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. So what Paul's also saying is I have feelings and all this about me, I'm still wrong. The stuff that I think I'm bad and the stuff that I think I'm good, still wrong. Look what he says. He says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. He says, so even though I don't feel bad about me, even though I feel good about what I'm saying about me, he said, that still doesn't make it right. Right? Some of us go, well, I feel okay with it. I'm good with it. Still wrong. Eve was good with eating with the fruit that she gave it to her husband to eat. Do you understand this? Still wrong. Look what he answered. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Be careful, because a lot of stuff that you think is cool, God may say no. And some stuff that we're calling bad, God's saying, that's exactly what I wanted them to do. But you won't know that. So with that said, we are to judge based on God, never to give our verdict, because in the end, we'll be judged by God. It says in Romans 14, 10 through 13, you then, why do you judge your brother? That's past judgment again. And why do you look down on your brother? Basically, based on how you see it. Why are you talking bad about them based on you? He says, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. So we as an individual are all going to have to stand before God. Okay? And you might say, Pastor Keith didn't do this, Pastor Keith didn't do that, and all that. And you may be right. But understand, you got to answer for you too. Do you understand that? It says, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow down before me, tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. What he won't do, like the human courts, is, Keith, what do you think, character witness? What do you think about so and such? Or he won't ask you, what do you think about me? He'll go, Keith, why did you? And if my answer is not because you said, I failed. Y'all get this? That is the only acceptable answer. Well, God, because you said. Not the messed up answers we give today. Just plainly because you said. That's why it says in verse 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Plain and simple. It's letting us know that judgment has to be with an understanding that I'm going to have to answer to God about me. So our main purpose down here is to live to help others. Helping them doesn't mean enabling them, allowing them to stay in their sin, condemning them, telling them, oh, they're no good. It's me being right in the middle of whatever it takes. I'm going to continue to do what I can to help you. Does that make sense? I am not here to do the punishing. It is not my job. That belongs to God. And I want to show as much mercy to them as God is showing to me. Amen? All right. So now, we're going to help ourselves to refreshments. Prayer and meditation, we'll skip for today. We have something after church for all of us to be blessed by. So.